Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again for listening to Northern Transmissions. This week we have the wonderful and talented comedian Nick Thune. So let's get some stuff right away. Here's the track Iron Man off his 2010 stand-up comedy musical release, Thick Noon.
Songs really sweet, and I really don't like. I mean, there's definitely musical comedy that makes me laugh, like Flight of the Conchords. People that sing, like stuff like that, really makes me laugh. But I have a hard time watching most people play guitar and sing, and kind of go through the same formula of making, you know, rhyming whatever. Just making comedy songs. There's a definite formula to it, and people like Flight of the Conchords found their own way to do it. I've really found that just the most serious I could be in a song and sweet about something, about a topic that's just ridiculous is my approach. And actually Kate Micucci and I started a little band we call Electric Vehicle, and we've written a couple of songs, and they're just like, one of them's called Alarm Clock, and I play a guy and she plays an alarm clock, and I talk about how somewhat, you know, like every morning I need that alarm clock to wake me up, and every night I go to bed knowing that it's going to wake me up. And it's like this stupid, sweet love song, but it's between a guy and an alarm clock, you know?
That's hilarious.
And I find that writing songs about stuff like that is, well, at least that's what I like to do. And that's Richard Swift, I think, works perfect. He's going to produce our album, and he really enjoys that kind of stuff. And I give it to Richard. He's so smart in the way he produced my songs, because that was, I don't know, however long ago, and the different sounds he was using and stuff. If you listen to the new Bon Iver album, I mean, it's the same stuff. It, you know, in a couple of the songs, like this kind of Bruce Hornsby keyboard sound, and Richard was like having fun doing that 3 years ago. And I just think he's so smart and brilliant. You know, I'm excited to see what we're going to make on the next sound for this next album.
I wanted to ask you off the bat about working with Richard Swift, who I really enjoy his music. How did you he works on your music too, I guess. How did that come about?
You know, I had I was friends with the guys in this band called The Color, which is a band that kind of broke up a long time ago. And then through them, met the guys in the Cold War Kids, and then also this band called Delta Spirit.
Yeah, totally.
And they all had the same management company. And so when I was getting ready to do my album, I kind of looked through their roster, and I didn't realize that they also represented Richard Swift. So I just took a shot in the dark, and I knew the manager, and just called him and said, hey, could you send Richard Swift my stuff and say I'm a huge fan and see if he would work with me and help produce a few songs. And he wrote back the next day, sure. So he said the only way that he would do it, though, is if I lived at his place up in Eugene, Oregon, it's by Eugene, Oregon, Cottage Grove, I think is the name of the city.
Right.
I went up there and lived for a week in his back studio and recorded. It was fun. It was a great experience.
That must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. And like the week before I was there, the Walkmen were using his studio as rehearsal space for some festivals they were doing. I mean, it's just like a cool area where people stop in and work for weeks at a time.
That's really neat. He's a really respected. He's one of those like singer songwriters that's really respected among musicians, and he writes great songs.
Something that really bothered me lately, actually, recently, was this band, The Cults.
Yeah.
You know them?
Yeah, totally.
They put out a song that is basically a full ripoff of Richard Swift's song, The Bully. And like, I heard it in the car, and I took a picture of my Sirius, like, radio station that had The Cults on it.
You're right.
And it's Richard that, and I said, they're stealing your song. And he wrote back, I consider it more of a homage. And then I got home and I Googled it, and there's like all these pages of people saying that they stole that song from them, like you paid it from Richard.
Really?
It's ridiculous.
And it doesn't bother him, like he doesn't, he considers it a compliment, it doesn't really bug him.
I guess, yeah, it bothered me a lot, but I guess I'm coming from a comedian standpoint where anytime somebody does anything even, you know, that seems like it's coming from what you're doing, it just kind of breaks your heart a little bit, you know, and like just gets you angry.
I guess he's
above that.
You're listening to Northern Transmissions. Thanks, as always, for listening. I hope you're enjoying our conversation with comedian Nick Thune. If you want more information about his music and comedy and tour dates, you can check him out at nickthune.com. And you can also follow him on Twitter. We chatted a little bit about the pressure of recording his live CD, as well as performing on late night television.
Yeah, I created it. I mean, I created a lot of pressure on myself, which I tend to do with everything, and which seems to actually help me work better. But, you know, anytime you're recording your first album, you just want it to be perfect, you know? And most people, when they hear what they're doing, they don't think it's perfect. At least I don't. Like, after I taped the album, they kept sending it to me, the album could have come out 6 months before it did if I would have actually been a lot easier to deal with, but I just couldn't listen to myself. And when I did listen to myself, I hated it, or I wanted to switch this. And I remember at first I was going back to Comedy Central with crazy notes, like, and then finally they were just like, listen, you just got to trust us, Nick. It's a good CD. You're being too hard on yourself. And then I gave it another listen, kind of with that in my mind, and just said, all right, put it out. But I just can't think about it anymore. but once it came out, it just felt so great, like just this huge weight off my shoulders. And then, you know, it was received well enough for me to where it made me feel good about it, to where now it's, I'm focusing on making this next CD, which is a whole different feeling because you've already got one out. So now you're thinking, okay, how do I not just make a cookie cutter of the last one, which would be easy to do, you know, fill in new jokes,
right?
Basically just make the same CD with different material. So now I'm focusing on, yeah, that. What's my next CD?
That's awesome.
And within bands, you know, the sophomore album tends to be,
yeah,
go a lot of different directions. You know, I mean, it could be self-indulgent. It could, there's so many different ways that it could go. And I'm, you know, in fact, they've even tried to rush me a little bit on it. But I'm not about to put out something that I don't think is, you know, at least for myself, like I kind of want to feel like I'm doing something different.
Do you approach that in the same, like, mindset when you're doing, like, you know, Letterman or Leno or Conan?
Just doing, like, are you, like, getting, preparing for it?
Yeah, like, mentally. I mean, is that the same?
Well, you know, it's actually, it's two different things. If you're, you know, it's like, I ran track for a little bit when I was younger, but I assume that, you know, somebody that's running a mile or, you know, cross country running is having a different mindset than somebody that's running a dash. You know, it's like in the dash, you just go, you pick up and you just go, you know, and you just don't stop. You don't look back and you run as fast as you can to the finish line. And that's kind of what a late night show is like doing. It's like you're starting, you got 5 minutes to just plow through, you know, and you don't want to lose momentum. You don't really have time to establish too much with the audience with character, so it really comes through on jokes. Whereas if you're doing like a longer run, like in track or an hour long set at a club, you've got more time to build rapport and take your time with things. And I definitely don't think you should compromise anything when you do a late night show. Like you shouldn't speed things up just to fit into the time, but you're definitely aware of the time and focusing, you know, on how to use it to your advantage the most.
Interesting.
But those longer sets, you can really take time to mess around and try things that don't always work, you know, especially that aren't being taped for TV, because that's really when you're honing that stuff for the next time you're going to tape TV or your CD or whatever.
As we were talking about Nick preparing for late night television, here is a clip of him on the Conan show, which is also available on his website at nickthune.com.
1, 2. Thank you. You're welcome. Can I get some more laughter in the monitors? Like 2 more times than that? These pants are 3/4 Roy's and 1/4 mine. He's a friend of mine. We split our clothes. And he's a great guy. I like to BCC Stevie Wonder on every email that I send. And that's just because Stevie wants to know what I'm up to, and he doesn't want everyone else to know that he knows about it. And I respect that about Stevie, probably the most. C-sections are like the DiGiorno of pregnancy. Because it's not delivery. It's a C-section. If you catch on fire, a firefighter will tell you it's 3 steps. You stop, you drop, and you roll. But what firefighters don't know are people are rolling way too long. They need to put another stop at the end of that. Like stop, drop, roll about 30 seconds, and then stop again. And then save somebody else's life. Enough is enough. It's the exact same word. Sometimes when people say that, I feel like they're just realizing it. Enough is enough! Spelled the same. Just go back to whatever you were doing. Jack Nicklaus is a golfer. Jack Nicholson is an actor. That's just FYI for you guys. That's something I have to tell myself maybe 2-3 times a week. Boy George is the exact opposite of George Strait. For people's emergency contact, they usually put their mom. That's a good one. I just go with 911 because I don't mess around. I'll just take the original emergency contact. Thank you. Whoever will take me directly to the hospital, that would be perfect. Let's call my mom after we figure out what's going on. Because I'm pretty sure she doesn't know how to answer her cell phone. I woke up this morning and had a bloody nose. And if I said that with a British accent, it would sound like I just woke up this morning and realized I've got a nose. It's right on my face. But when I say it, it just sounds like my nose was bleeding. I like to keep all the rooms at my house set to room temperature. Because it just seems like the perfect temperature for your room. Unless you're in the bathroom, you want the bathroom set to bathroom temperature. And all of my corners are set to 90 degrees. Which, everyone knows, that's a right angle for every corner. People say, Nick, you gotta take a different angle on that joke and your house. And I would. And that would be a cute house. But I'm all right, thank you. I'd say about 12% of you clapped or laughed at that. It's a low percentage, 12%. Unless you're speaking of milk fat percentage. Then it's astronomical. Nobody's drinking 12% milk fat, and I judge all my jokes off milk fat percentage, so things are going real well for me so far. Can somebody invent a glass large enough to fit a whole milkshake in it? Because I don't want the metal cup. I'm lactose intolerant. I just wanted 12 ounces. Thank you. But they bring out that metal cup that's about a quarter full, as if to say, listen, our chef, he's been working here about 8 years, but he still doesn't know how to make a milkshake right. So, you know, we don't want to throw a milkshake away here at this terrible diner. So we bring it out to you, our customer. Anything else we can bring you? Yeah, bring out the extra spaghetti. I know it's back there. Just keep it in the pot. Put it right next to my plate because I just like to eat stuff and what it's made in. Thank you. I just bought a pair of camouflage underwear to support my troops.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. That was Nick Thune on Conan. If you've seen the show, or if you've seen video from the show, you'll notice that Nick neglected or forgot to shake Andy Richter's hand, which kind of turned into a bit of a phenomenon, and as well as a short film. And I actually asked Nick a little bit about that.
Did the show, and my dad brought it up to me that I noticed, and my dad was the first one to say something to me that I didn't shake Andy's hand. And I just, you know, as a comedian, you make, you know, whenever I make mistakes, I find the bigger deal I make out of a mistake that I make, the more, I feel like it doesn't affect my pride as much or something. Like, I know the people, like, if I'm on stage or in a meeting or in an audition and I know that I'm sweating through the armpits of my shirt, rather than sitting there and letting them know that without, you know, I need to let them know that I'm aware that that's happening, you know? Right. It makes me feel more comfortable to let them know I'm on the inside. I understand I'm sweating through my shirt. And so for me, like, letting the audience know, like, hey, I get it. I didn't shake Andy's hand. I wanted to do that. And so then I just slowly found a friend and had him film me and just kind of, it actually took me a couple months to put that together because I didn't pay anybody any money to make it. And then when I was done, I just sent it over to Funny or Die and just said, what do you guys think? And they said, yeah, we'll put it up on Monday.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
It was great, too, because I sent it to this guy that's a producer over at Conan before Andy didn't even know about it. I'd never mentioned anything. And I said, hey, show this to Andy, see what he thinks. And he said, yeah, he wants to be in it. So
that's really cool. I guess he's a really pretty nice guy. I mean, to do something like that.
Oh, so nice. Yeah, and his son was there that day that I went over there to tape it. His son was at work with him. Yeah, he seems like, I've met him a couple other times. He's always been really nice.
You're listening to Northern Transmissions. I hope you're enjoying our interview with Nick Thune. For more info on Northern Transmissions, you can email us at northerntransmissions@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at Northern Trends. Next, Nick and I discussed a little bit with working with Judd Apatow and Paul Feig on various projects.
I was reading about the Unaccompanied Minors, the film with like Rob Caudry and Lewis Black. How much fun was working on that project?
I mean, for me, it was so quick because if you've seen it, I just have this one really quick scene where I play in my on my trailer door and everything. It actually said Handsome Santa. That was the name of my role, was Handsome Santa. And I'm just like a Nordstrom, you know, like a guy in a department store, Santa Claus, who's like skinny and hip looking. I have one line, this girl fits in my lap. So I really worked on the movie for about 3 hours. They had me in Utah for 4 days to work for 3 hours. And I remember I went in a day before for them to like kind of trim my beard up and cut my hair if they wanted to. And I got my makeup done next to Mindy Kaling. And I had never met her before. So that, I think that in itself was a highlight. But working with Paul Feig obviously was great because he's made such great shows.
Yeah, totally.
TV and movies.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Bridesmaids is incredible. Freaks and Geeks. So,
yeah.
You know, all that stuff.
Freaks and Geeks, it kind of leads me into the next question. Yeah, Freaks and Geeks was great. I was going to say, you had also, you appeared in Knocked Up with Judd Apatow, Freaks and Geeks, obviously, and part of that whole Paul Feig connection. Are there any, do you have any other plans of working with these guys soon?
Yeah, I've got plans to work with everybody, including Martin Scorsese. I'm just not quite sure what their plans are working with me yet.
That's exciting.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm on their radar. I've worked with them. Hopefully they still like me after working with me. But, you know, you build a lot of relationships in this business, and then you just hope that when the time comes to when something's right for you, they remember you and think, oh, yeah, I remember working with him. And, you know, that's how I am with people that I work with. I tend to want to work with my friends. And I've also kind of learned that if I wait for people like Paul Feig or Judd Apatow to remember me and put me in their movies, then I'm just going to be waiting forever.
Right, right.
And I'm kind of in a place now where I just want to make my own thing, you know, and that the way that things are with the internet now, and people are creating their own stuff, and you're totally capable of doing it, you know. I mean, if you're in this town and doing stand-up, you're capable to make something. It's just a matter of putting all the pieces together.
Thank you for listening. That's the end of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Nick Thune. You can always check out past podcasts at Northern Transmissions, iTunes.com. Thank you to producer extraordinaire Andy Kallstrom. And let's close the show out with one more song from Nick Thune's 2010 album, Thick Noon. This is the song, Here Girl.
I guess I got to go to